Good morning. In preparing the hearts of Israel to receive the promised Messiah, God had sent a forerunner, John the Baptist, one who preached repentance to prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is, of course, recorded in all four Gospels and was a fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets foretold. Isaiah foretold in Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We also read, similarly, from Malachi 3, verse 1, that John the Baptist would later fulfill as the one who would go before the Lord. Malachi 3 verse 1 says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. And so, as we look forward to celebrate Christmas, and prepare to partake in communion today, let us examine a psalm. A psalm in which, like John the Baptist, encourages repentance and a prepared heart to be received unto our Lord. And I'll be reading from Psalm 80, if you'd like to turn there. Psalm 80. It is called A Call to God for Help. Verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent forth her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood does waste it, and the wild beast of the field does devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, and upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 1 begins with the psalmist calling out to the shepherd of Israel. Now we know many years later, Jesus himself in John 10 verse 14 would say, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. Now here we read that he is the shepherd of Israel. And who is he leading exactly? It is the flock of Joseph, which are identified further in verse 2 by naming the two sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh. But also named with Joseph's sons is his biological brother from Jacob and Rachel, that is Benjamin. And we will further discuss this later. But further identity is revealed of the shepherd of Israel in verse 1 as the one who dwells between the cherubims. Cherubims are a powerful caste of angels. God placed them at the east end of the Garden of Eden after he drove man out. God also instructed Moses to make cherubims made of gold, and that they were to be placed on each side of the mercy seat, which was placed upon the Ark of the Covenant. It was at the mercy seat that petition to God was made, just as Jesus would be the one that we petition to. And cherubims are also pictured around the throne of God, surrounding them in heaven, as revealed in Hezekiah's prayer in Isaiah 37, verse 16, where he says, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Now the psalmist is calling out to this all-powerful being, we know as the Lord God, to come and save them. And he says in verse 3, turn us again. He is crying out to God to not leave them in their sin, but to in fact turn back to them, to refresh them. It is a call for repentance on behalf of Israel. And the psalmist will repeat this same plea 3 times in this psalm, here in verse 3, again in verse 7, and finally in verse 19. But you'll notice that as he repeats the exact same plea in all 3 verses, there is a subtle change made each time. In each successive plea, he reveals greater splendor in our God's name. In verse 3, he addresses God as O God, that is Elohim, meaning the true God. Verse 7, he says, O God of hosts, meaning Elohim Sava, the true God, commander of the army. And finally, in verse 19, he says, O Lord God of hosts, that is Jehovah Elohim Sava, meaning the self-existing one, the true God, who commands the heavenly army. In all 3 verses, the psalmist asks God to turn us again and cause his face to shine, and we shall be saved. We long to be acknowledged by our Creator, and when he turns his face towards us, it is a sign of forgiveness and acceptance, for his face cannot look upon sinful shame. So our sins must first be brought to the Lord to be forgiven. But to have the Lord God of hosts look towards us is to have the fullness of his light shine upon us. Now the psalmist is aware of Israel's sin and God's anger in response to that sin. Verse 5, he refers to the bread from God not as the manna raining down from heaven, as it did in the wilderness, but as the bread of tears. Now contrast that to the New Testament, where we read that Jesus is the bread of life, who came from Bethlehem, the house of bread. See, the unleavened bread we partake in every time we come together for the Lord's Supper, we look at this physical bread as symbolically representing the life-saving sacrifice of our Lord Jesus. In fact, the true Passover bread physically represents the body of Jesus in that it was pierced, bruised, striped, and finally broken. Israel did not see that. They ate bread of tears because their enemies triumphed over them. In fact, they also drank tears out of bitter, apathetic, unfulfilling lives, not fulfilling their call to worship God. Otherwise, they would have drank from springs of joy. But God did not and has not forsaken Israel. Verse 8, we read that God brought a vine out of Egypt. Further, we read that God cast out the heathens. Just as a gardener would pluck up the weeds from the ground in order to prepare to plant good seed. So God had prepared the land of promise. This was fulfilled, first of all, with having Joseph being sold and taken into Egypt, Israel dwelling in the land of Egypt for roughly 400 years, and then God calling Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt, and ultimately Joshua leading them across the Jordan River into the land where God dispatched of Israel's enemies. He plucked up those weeds. But the greater fulfillment would come through the promised Messiah. Matthew 2, verses 13 to 18, chronicles the flight of Joseph, Mary, and their young son Jesus into Egypt. They had to escape the evil plot of Herod, who killed all the children 2 years and under of Bethlehem and its surrounding region. And this, of course, was all foretold by the Old Testament prophets as well. Hosea 11, verse 1 foretells of the Messiah coming out of Egypt. And Jeremiah 31, verse 15 foretells of the lament, the horror that would happen in Bethlehem. Jeremiah 31, verse 15 says, "Lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted, because they are not." Jeremiah specifically points out Rachel's weeping for her children. Her children were, as already pointed out and mentioned in this psalm, Joseph and Benjamin. And so we see the deep connection of Psalm 80 to the Messiah's arrival to the earth, as only God could foreknow. But this vine of Israel, although God prepared the land for deep roots to be established, and although it grew up fast to overshadow the cedars, through time God allowed her to be plucked up by her neighbors, and wasted and devoured by beasts of the forest and fields. God allowed this because Israel had turned its back. They did not acknowledge their husbandman, their gardener, as Jesus would identify the Father as in John 15, verse 1. And in that same verse, he would identify himself as the true vine. Now let us pay attention to verse 15 of Psalm 80. The vineyard, that is to say Israel, was planted by God's right hand. Another reference to Jesus, as he is the one who sits at the right hand of the Father. We also read of the branch that the God of hosts made strong for himself. The word branch is not the Hebrew word netzer, as used in Isaiah 11 verse 1 when referring to the Messiah. No, the word branch used here by the psalmist is the common Hebrew word ben, meaning son. In fact, your translation may say son, but may also have a notation indicating it means branch. So why do I point this out? What is the big deal of this Hebrew word ben, which is used over 4,900 times in the Old Testament? Well, the significance in this particular usage is that of those 4,900 plus times it is used, this is the only time it is translated as branch. Jesus is the Son of God, but he is often referred to as the Son of Man, the branch, and the vine that would be planted in Israel, where he would be cut down, cut off, as Daniel 9:26 foretold. He would be cut down but not destroyed and not forgotten. For he was raised from the dead, as we know, and verse 17 says that the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself, meaning he was lifted up, he was raised up, made strong. He was raised by the Father to glory, we know, so he could quicken us, as verse 18 speaks of, meaning he restores, revives, and sustains our lives. He gives us his Holy Spirit to indwell us as a guarantee to preserve our souls when we call upon his name. That is the name of Jesus, the Son of God and Lord of all. So let us ask the Lord God of hosts to turn us again if we've fallen into sin. to come to him in repentance, and may he cause his face to shine, and we shall, not might, but shall be saved. We have read in this psalm of the bread and the vine that Israel partook of in sorrow and sinfulness. Let us now come in repentance and joy to partake in the bread of life and the true vine, remembering the immeasurable sacrifice he made in coming to earth as a little baby, suffering many years with sinful man, yet not once was sin found in him, and then ultimately dying the sacrificial death to pay for our sins. But let us also look forward to the return of our Lord, to see him face to face. I invite all who have repented of their sins, received Jesus as Lord, and been baptized upon that confession of faith to be joined together in a common union of faith, to take of this Lord's Supper in solemn conviction and in all seriousness. Please feel free to pause for a moment, to personally come to the Lord in prayer, and to prepare the elements in your home. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Shall we bow for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for sending your Son Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that he was willing to come to this earth, to dwell with sinful man, to live that pure life, Lord, perfect, to be the perfect sacrifice. Lord, we thank you for sending your bread of life, and may we be filled with the truth of your word, Lord. May we be nourished daily by this bread, Lord, that you have sent into our hearts and our minds. Lord, we know that this bread that we partake of is but a symbol of that which you have done for us. And we just give you thanks and praise and pray, Lord, that you would strengthen us in this day, that we would not feed on bread of tears, but, Lord, that we would be filled with true joy and peace. We praise you and thank you and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I ask that you take and eat this in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. Eat, beloved, eat. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us bow again for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for this cup, symbolic of the blood that was spilt. And that blood, it is in that blood that the new covenant was established. And Lord, we know that you said that you would not drink of that cup again until the day when you would drink it new with us, with all believers in your Father's kingdom. And Lord, we long for that day. We look forward to it. And I pray, Lord, that we would be reminded daily of that sacrifice you made for us, but also be filled with hope and joy, looking for and hastening the day of your arrival, Lord, your return to take us to be with you. We just thank you and praise you, O Father, and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I invite you to drink this in remembrance that Christ's blood was shed for you, and be thankful. Drink, beloved, drink. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, the peace that only our Lord God can give you. Amen.